If you want to head out, the little ones will be with Samantha today, and then the junior church with Pastor Josh and the teens with Mrs. Van Hall. Appreciate their work and all they do for the kids, teaching them on their level. And for us, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let me just give you a few moments of review, because this is a connected sermon. We just didn't have time to do it all last week. But Paul works in teaches in mysterious ways. You know, Paul is a unique writer, as he wrote most of the New Testament. But the idea is redemption, even the plan of redemption, the plan of salvation, has a bittersweet reality. We talked about this last week. You know, on one hand, you find the sweetness of the wonders and glories of eternal life, that if you know Christ, heaven's going to be just the amazing place. But in contrast to that, one finds only bitterness in the endless punishment of eternal damnation that awaits those who reject the gospel. And there's a contrast. And Paul found a contrast here in his writings to the Thessalonians. And again, you've got to know the background for those of you who weren't here last week. But Paul was run off by the persecutors. They were mainly the Jews out of the synagogue, but some of the Gentiles, and they didn't want Paul there. And they ran him off. And after 3 months of establishing this church, he left, and I'm going to talk next week at why he left, why I believe he left, and why he stayed away. But while he was away, he knew they were under persecution. He'd only been there for 3 months, and Timothy and Silas left with him. All three of them left. And he was concerned about the congregation. He was concerned, were they holding to the stuff? Were they staying true to God's word? Were they doing what was right? Because, you know, again, he couldn't watch them on YouTube or live stream. He couldn't make a phone call to them. He had no communication with them. So he sent Timothy back to there. Timothy went back to the church and met with the church and came back to Paul. And that's where in chapter 2, verses 13 through 16, we see Paul's writing here. He was just excited because the Thessalonian church was following Jesus Christ. And he was so glad for them. He was so happy. I just can't even imagine how happy the report that Paul got from Timothy, that they were doing so well. And so I gave you the message. He was a reason to be happy for them, a reason to be joyful for them. And he gave three reasons why he was joyful, why he was so glad for them. Is because number one, they'd taken the word of God and it just didn't get into their head. It got into their heart. It became real to them. Too many Christians today, they have the knowledge and it's in their head a little bit, but it never got to their heart. But when the gospel gets to your heart, I'm telling you folks, that's where you see the God thing. That's where you see God working. That's where you see the supernatural. That's where you see God working through the Holy Spirit. You know, we talked about this week with somebody why we were working. The Holy Spirit works when you let him work. He just doesn't work if you choose not to use him, if you choose not to live in his power, he's not going to work. But when it gets you from your head to your heart, the gospel, and that's what he was glad for. He was so glad that it went from their head. They just didn't get it in word, but they got it in their heart, and it changed their lives, and they were seeing the God thing. They were a people to be glad for. And then the second thing is they honored the saints. And the way they honored the saints was the church was functioning just way the Judean church, the first churches in Jerusalem that were established. They were doing the exact same thing. They were applying. So really what Paul was saying is they were applying the principles that he had taught them. They remembered the principles. They were teaching the principles to one another. They were practicing those principles. And that church in Thessalonica was no different than the churches in Judea who had the apostles there, that had pastors there, had leadership there. They were doing the same thing. They honored the saints, those who went before them. And then he was glad for them because they persevered through trials. And he even mentioned that the thing he was so happy about was when trials come from without, like from the unsaved crowd, it can be difficult, but it's not so bad. That, you know, you can live with that because they're unsaved. They don't understand the things of God. They don't understand. You can almost live with that. But when the persecution or the discouragement comes when people within Christianity are critical of you. They may persecute you, or they may criticize you. That's when it hurts. And I think more people leave the church over Christians that are critical and with them than those who are on the outside as Gentiles. And Paul said, I'm so happy. I'm so glad for you that you persevered through all the persecution from the Jews, that your own countrymen. You saw the persecution and you've went through the persecution. You stayed by the stuff. And he said, I'm so glad for you. But then you see in Paul's writing here, he makes an abrupt, those are in verses 13 and 14 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But then he makes an abrupt transition in his contrast, because he begins to criticize the Jews as a nation and how they responded to God's truth. He had a harsh condemning of the Jews, but that wasn't unusual for Paul. Because in light of their long-standing, persistent resentment of Paul, which began shortly after his conversion. If you remember, when he was saved on that Damascus road, he went into Damascus and he received the Holy Spirit, and God began to work in his heart. He went out in Damascus, began to preach, and the Jews and the Gentiles both in that city wanted to kill him. They laid wait at him when he was going to come out through the doors, out of the city, go back to Jerusalem. They were going to kill him. The disciples there took him and let him down in a basket outside the wall, and so he could get away with his life, and he went to Jerusalem. It began even after his conversion. And the book of Acts records numerous of examples of the Jews' hostility toward Paul. They tried to kill him. They tried to stone him. They imprisoned him. And in many other ways to stop the efforts of Paul. These were Jews, the very people. You know, I thought about this week. What if the Jews would have just let Paul preach to the Gentiles? You know, I think Paul, as much as he loved the Jews, would have said, okay, then I'll take the message to the Gentiles. But not only did they restrict him from preaching to them, but they restricted him from preaching the message to the Gentiles. And so for Paul to be a little critical here and to be sad for, so I wrote last week, a people to be glad for, that was the Thessalonican church, because they got it into their hearts. They honored the saints, and they followed the principles from God's word, and they persevered through the persecution. Paul was glad for them, but now he talks about a people to be sad for. That's the Jews. Paul gives us a strong statement about their spiritual condition, and he states really three reasons why he was sad for these people, the Jews. They rejected God's word, they hindered the saints, and they one day there was going to be a great... Let's take a look at those. And you'll find it in verse 15 of chapter 2. It says, who both killed the Lord Jesus. And the first thing Paul was sad for the Jews is the rejection of the truth. Why did they kill Jesus Christ? Simply because they hated him, because he claimed to be God. But on Wednesday nights, we're taking a look at that. The witnesses to that Jesus Christ was God. He not only said it himself, but he had John the Baptist and his witness. His own father was his witness. His works were his witness. The Jews should understand that this was the Messiah. The scriptures even foretold of exactly when the Messiah, maybe not the day, the exact week and the exact month, but the time when the Messiah was going to come from Daniel, and where that Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. They had all the scriptures before them. Everything pointed to that this must be the Messiah, but they couldn't handle the truth. See, the Thessalonians, Paul was glad for the Thessalonians because they heard the truth and they accepted it. And it not only went into their heads, it went into their hearts and it changed their lives. But the Jews of all people, God's chosen people, had the truth. And they had the truth that walked among them. It was Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, walked in their midst. Yet they killed him. They rejected the truth. That was in clear contrast to the Thessalonic believers. Throughout the history, the Jews rejected the Messiah from God, or the message from God. And most notably, we know it was the Lord Jesus Christ, their Messiah, when he declared the truth of God, they killed him for it. The gospel supports the statement that the Jews killed the Lord Jesus. And again, it was the Jews who did. You know, the Romans executed him, I understand that, at the instigation of the Jews, though. And obviously, not all the Jews of that time were responsible for killing Christ. However, the apostate Jewish mob that insisted that Pontius Pilate should carry out the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and murder him, that was representative of the history apex of the Jewish people in their unbelief and opposition to God's truth. And Paul said, I'm sad for the Jews. I'm happy. I'm thrilled for the Thessalonians. They received the truth and applied it to their hearts. But the Jews did nothing but reject the gospel of people to be sad for. And you know what? My heart goes out to all the people who reject the gospel of Jesus Christ today. Now, I know they're not as privileged as the Jews. They're not God's chosen people. Well, even the Jews over there are God's chosen people. They reject him. They still reject Jesus Christ today. But even in America, the Gentiles that hear the truth and reject that truth, it's so sad to me. There are people to be sad for because they have the truth. We have more gospel. That I just heard that report once again, that more Bibles are being sold today than at any other time in the history of America. More Bibles today. More live stream. You can go on the computer. You can go on Facebook. And you can go on places and get the gospel more so than any other time in the history of America. Maybe the world. Yep, there's a people to be sad for. They simply reject the truth of Jesus Christ. I hope you're not one of them that reject that truth. The truth is that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. The truth is that there is no way to get to heaven but through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but through Jesus Christ. That's simply the truth. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ was the Messiah that came. And Jesus Christ is coming again. You believe that truth that if you die without Jesus Christ, there's no purgatory. There's no second chance. We can't pray you into heaven. We can't work you into heaven. When you die, you've made your decision. It's appointed unto once man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. If you die without Jesus Christ, you will spend an eternity in hell. That's the truth. It's not, I'm not being mean. It's the truth. The Jews had that truth. They saw it in John the Baptist. They saw it in God the Father, as he said, this is my beloved Son, they saw it in Jesus Christ. They saw it in his witness and in the scripture. They saw it in his works as he healed, and he healed leprosy, and he raised the dead, and he did all the miracles. They saw it, but yet they rejected that truth. And Paul was sad for them. The Jews, long established, rejection of anyone who brought God's word to them that extended to Paul and all the other New Testament apostles. You know, Paul wrote that the Jews forbid him to speak to the Gentiles to give them the gospel of Christ. That's why he was so sad for the Jews, because of the rejection of Jesus Christ. So there's a people to be glad for. That was the Thessalonians. They received the truth. They put it in their hearts. But the Jews, who had every opportunity, the Thessalonians had 3 months with Paul, Silas and Timothy. The Jews have had since Abraham. They had the miracles. They had the Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. They had Joshua leading and the work of God right before them as they went into the promised land. They've seen miracle after miracle after miracle, how God's provided for the Jews. I mean, Jesus walked, he really walked amongst the Jews, and he healed. I mean, he fed them. He fed 5,000 in one sitting. That was men, plus women and children. He healed the lepers that nobody had ever seen that before. He raised the dead. He caused the blind to see again, and you get tired of me repeating this, but if the books could contain all that Jesus did on this earth, John said the world itself can't even contain the books. yet they killed him. So Paul was sad for the Jews of their rejection of Jesus Christ. But number two, Paul was sad in this passage for their hindrance of the saints. Look what it says in verse 15. We'll continue on. Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us as they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding to us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved. They were a hindrance to the saints. The Thessalonians, he was glad for because they honored the saints by living out the principles from that he taught them. But the Jews, they hindered the saints. The Jewish people did not honor the saints, but they killed them as well. And throughout the whole Old Testament, especially amongst the Old Testament prophets, the minor prophets, we find a deadly hostility toward these prophets, including Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the things they did to them. And other than Zechariah's death from the Old Testament writers, many murders are not detailed in the scriptures. The Old Testament doesn't say a lot about how. You would have to go to the Fox of Book of Martyrs to find out how some of these great Old Testament prophets died. But fortunately, the writer of the letter of the Hebrews in the New Testament provide a general indication of what occurred, because he wrote in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 37, he talks about that many of them were stoned. They were sawn in two, cut in half. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They were put in sheepskin and coat skins and let animals go after them. Dogs, wild dogs, chase them down and kill them and eat them to death. They were destitute, afflicted, and he said ill-treated. That's the way the Jews treated their prophets, who just simply came down and gave them God's message. And if they would have listened to God's message, they would have avoided some of the persecution and some of the battles and all the things that happened. The Jews, God was just trying to warn them through the prophets, but they didn't honor the prophets. They hindered the prophets. They stopped the message of God. And even in the New Testament with the Apostle Paul, not only did they persecute him, but they required him not to speak to the Gentile people. They kept the gospel from going forth. So opposite of the Thessalonians who honored the saints. But the Jews hindered the gospel preachers by trying to prevent them from preaching the message of Jesus Christ. And in this passage, the spread of the gospel to the Gentiles. The Jews, in similar fashion to unconverted Saul, we know why they did it. That's why Saul, if you go back, Saul, before he got saved on the road to Damascus, he was a persecutor of Christians. Why? He hated Jesus. He hated Jesus. He hated Christians because they promoted Jesus Christ. And Paul got letters from the chief priest to go about and throw Christians in prison and have them killed and persecuted. He tore up families and he went around to Jerusalem, and then he got a letter to go to all the surrounding cities to go destroy the Christian faith. But the whole time Paul did that, he thought he was honoring God. That's why he did it. He thought he was pleasing God and obeying God. But then on that road to Damascus, Paul looked up and he said, "Who art thou?" And he said, "I'm Jesus whom you persecute." When he saw Jesus there in light of, I don't know, eternity, I don't know what he actually saw. But he saw Jesus for the first time, and the first words that came out of his mouth was, "What will you have me to do?" For the first time, Paul understood the errors of his way, that Jesus Christ did come. That Jesus Christ was real, that Jesus Christ was the answer to eternal life, that everything revolved around Jesus Christ and what he did for God's people. And his whole attitude changed, but not the Jews. They had the same attitude toward Christians, toward the apostles, toward Paul that they had. They resented and hated any religion but their own. Especially the ones who taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. They thought that was a heresy. And they whom they rejected, Jesus Christ they rejected, and counted him as the satanic counterfeit Messiah. That animosity was expressed in the hindering of the apostles from speaking to the Gentiles. The Jews refused to believe the gospel, and they refuse to let them free to go and present that. But we find that in early days. That's why I looked this up in Acts chapter 5. Let me just read this real quickly. This is the early days of the church, and when they had brought them, they sent them before the council. That was some of the apostles. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straightly we command you not to teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to mean the, bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And when they heard that, the Bible says, they were cut to heart and took counsel to kill them. Yeah, he was sad for the Jews. Happy for the Thessalonians. They received the truth and put it in their hearts. And they saw God work in an amazing way. They honored the saints by applying the principles of God's word. But the Jews, just opposite, they rejected the truth. And they hindered the saints by killing them, by refusing to let Paul and others go and present the gospel of Jesus Christ. They hindered them. But there's a third thing, and this is the most amazing of it. Paul was sad for the Jews, not only because they rejected the truth and that they hindered the saints. And I'm telling you what, that's happening in the world today. And Paul would be sad for what he sees going on in the world today. Not because he's mad at anybody, but the rejection of truth, the hindrance of the saints. But this is where he was sad for them because of the wrath to come. Look at verse 16. He said, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may not be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. That's an interesting phrase, but that's why Paul was sad for him, for the wrath to come. The Thessalonians had demonstrated a perseverance in suffering, and they emerged triumphant in the hope of glory and eternal life. But the Jews faced an entirely different situation. They persecuted those who had the truth. They opposed those who believed the truth. But one day they will have a fearful and deadly punishment that will face them. And Paul knew that. The result of the Jews' hostility to God's truth and to God's saints, Paul said this, that they will fill up their sins always. That's a unique phrase. He said they will to fill up their sins always. Literally, that phrase says that he will heap up their sin until it comes to a limit. There's a well-defined point to which people reach the limit of their sins. And where does Paul get this from? Well, if you go back to the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 16, it says this. This is what Moses wrote in the law. He said, but in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again. He's talking about the Amorites. He said, even in their fourth generation, they shall come up hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. It wasn't full yet. So God wasn't bringing judgment down upon the Amorites because their iniquity, it wasn't full yet. They hadn't went to the point where God was going to bring judgment. You know, this would remind you of something, that God will bring judgment when sin has reached a certain limit. You go back to the flood, and we talked about that in Sunday school a little bit. God reached his limit with the world. The world, the Bible says, was only evil continually. But God wasn't ready to destroy the world yet. He wanted them to be saved, because God's not willing that any should perish. But I told the people in Sunday school, do you know how many people perished and went to an eternity in hell? That wasn't because God wanted to do it, but their sins were heaped up to the point where God's judgment had to come. They were evil only continually. God placed and had Noah do an unusual thing. He could have destroyed the world in a lot of ways, but he built this great boat. And for 120 years, Noah built this boat for the world to see. He went and preached for 120 years that judgment was coming. And yet, even seeing that size of that boat, and you know what? If you've never seen the size of the ark, Man, I remember driving down to Kentucky and the science museum there down there. And when you're in the bus that they shuttle you, they came around that corner and I saw the size of that ark. I couldn't believe it. It was massive. It was huge. It was mind-boggling, literally, to see it like that. I'm so glad they built that for me to see what the Jews and all the Gentiles, all the people on the earth could see. And yet, they rejected. And they continued in their sin to the point where it had filled up. The Bible says when it's filled up, God pours out his judgment. And he poured out his judgment upon the entire world except those who were saved in the ark, and anybody could have gotten the ark. You know, made me stop and think, one day, the sins of America are going to get filled up. And God's going to bring judgment. You know, I know there's little judgments that have come at times, and judgment has come upon Judah because they were exiled by Babylon. They were destroyed by Babylon. And judgment did come to Israel. God was filled up, and he brought in Assyria, and they came and took him into exile. In 70 AD, Titus came in and destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, destroyed it all. Oh yeah, God is filled up, but he's not completely filled up. But one day it'll be filled up, and Jesus Christ is going to come back. During the tribulation period, and if you know anything about the tribulation period, that's God's judgment upon the Jews. Now, the Gentiles will be judged as well because nobody escapes the judgment of God. But Jesus Christ will return, I believe, when it's all filled up. When it's all filled up for the Jews, they're filled up. And judgment's going to come, and it's going to come for 7 years in a way you've never seen before. At the end of those 7 years, judgment's going to come upon the Gentiles where every unsaved person will be annihilated and destroyed so that their blood flows in the rivers up to 7 feet high. Paul knew the wrath was coming. That's why he was sad for them. The wrath was coming. And it came at different times, and the wrath did come upon the Israelites. But I think what Paul had in mind was more than just the wrath of Babylon taking him into exile and Assyria taking them into exile. I think he had more on his mind than just the tribulation. Because I think Paul was sad for these Jews because he knew one day, because of the rejection of Jesus Christ, because of their rejection of the truth, because of their hindrance to the saints, God was going to be filled up one day. And they're going to die in their sins. And they're going to be cast into a lake of fire which burneth forever and ever. That's what he's talking about here. For the wrath is to come. But it's interesting that the Paul uses that expression, the wrath is to come. The expression is in the aorist sense. You know, it's like Paul, in the aorist sense, it's like it's already come. It hasn't come yet, but Paul is sure it's going to come. You know how I could illustrate this? Detroit's next year going to lose and not make it to the Super Bowl, the Lions. I can say that in the aorist tense like I really think it's happening. It's going to happen. They're not going to win a Super Bowl. That's how I could say it. It's like, do I know they're not going to win? No. But it's like I know they're not going to win. And Paul said this. He said that the wrath is come. He said it's coming because God's word is true. And see, they were a people to be sad for. These Jews were a people to be sad for because of their rejection of the truth, because of their hindrance of the saints, the Old Testament prophets, and the sending forth. I feel so bad for the people who try to hinder the gospel going forth. All the people in this world who try to keep churches from spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. I can't tell you how many times the unsaved people have tried to stop us going from going in Detroit, from going door to door. How many times the police got called on us to stop us from handing out the good news of Jesus Christ. Man, we weren't hurting anybody. If somebody at the door doesn't want to hear, we just moved on. I didn't force the gospel on anybody, but it was so sad to me that many tried to stop the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what the Jews did. Paul said there are people to be sad for, but I think the reason he was the saddest of both was for the wrath to come. He knew one day it would fill up. God's tank there would fill up with their wickedness. God's tank would fill up with their ungodliness. And one day, the wrath was coming. And again, it came at from time to time. But I think the total wrath that Paul is talking about here is one day they will spend an eternity. They'll hear those words, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." You know, could you see a Jew like Paul before he got saved, if he died before he got saved, and he stood before God and God said, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." Paul would say, "But I worked for you. I killed those Christians for you. I did everything for you." I can just picture that some Jews one day at the great white throne judgment, "We did it for you." But it wasn't the truth. It wasn't God's plan at all. They rejected the truth. They hindered the saints. And Paul said, "I'm sad for them because the wrath is coming." I think about America. I guess the older I get, the sadder I get for America. They've rejected the truth, a lot of it. They've hindered the gospel many times in many ways. And I think if the Lord tarries his return, you're going to see it in more ways than you can imagine. One day, the tank's going to be full and God's going to pour out his judgment. Let me tell you something. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'll be part of that judgment. If you die in your sins and do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will get the wrath to come. God's not willing that any should perish. That's why he established churches. That's why he has Christians that give the gospel out. That's why he has the Bible. And that Satan has tried to destroy the Bible, but he never will. Because the Bible is God's truth. It's there for you. See, you're either a people this morning to be glad for, or you're a people to be sad for. I hope you're a people to be glad for. I hope you grasped hold of that truth and it went down into your heart. I hope you're applying the principles from God's word. I hope you're persevering, even though at everything Satan or maybe even other Christians throw at you, you persevere. I think there's some under the sound of my voice that are like the Jews. They've rejected the truth. They've hindered the saints. And there are people to be sad for, of course, the wrath is coming. If you die without Jesus Christ in your sins, I'm not being mean here. I'm telling you the truth. You will spend an eternity in hell. There's no second chance. There's no purgatory. We can't pray you into heaven. We can't work you into heaven. The moment you die, you determine your eternal destiny, either heaven or hell. Are you a people to be glad for or a people to be sad for? I want every head bowed and every head closed. Thank you so much for wonderful attention this morning. Paul was an unusual writer. He contrasted many things in Scripture. But that's one thing, a people to be glad for. But there's a people to be sad for. Some people are going to heaven and some people will spend an eternity in hell. Some people accept the truth and some people reject the truth. There's always that contrast. Some people honor the saints. Some people hinder the saints. Some people persevere. Others will face the wrath to come. I can't determine where you're at. Only you can. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior.